This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. 4 years ago this week, the first Bitcoin purchase was made by a programmer in Florida. And what did he use it for? Of course. No, not Twinkies. He bought two pizzas from Papa John's. These days, you can use the digital currency to buy pizzas. You can shop on Amazon. You can even make a campaign donation with Bitcoin. And now programmers are coming up with altcoins, alternative cryptocurrencies. They're spilling out of pockets everywhere, so to speak. And here is our guide, Morgan Peck. She's a journalist based out of New York, and she joins us here in our CUNY studio. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Thanks for having me.
What other kinds of coins are we seeing now?
They're proliferating like crazy. I think there are thousands of them at this point. Some of them are purely frivolous. There's actually a website where you could create your own coin if you wanted to. It's called CoinGen, and you could give this guy some money, and he'll make you a cryptocurrency called IraCoin.
But Sci-Fi coin, IraCoin.
Yeah.
What gives it its value? What would give a Science Friday coin or an IraCoin its value?
Well, that's actually, I think that's one of the most fascinating issues that's coming out of this proliferation is where does value come from? And that's a really complex question. Value, I define it as it's just an agreement between multiple people about if I give you this coin, then you will give me something in exchange. But there's a moment somewhere in the history of a currency. We weren't around for the history of our currency, so we don't know when when the dollar accrued value. But there's one specific moment when everybody decided that they would agree that this was going to be a transactional,
right? It's worth this amount of gold. It's worth this amount of silver. The dollar, Bitcoin is worth something.
Yeah, but that moment is a creative moment. Right. You know, it's where does that come from? Who knows?
Right. Who knows? So people just make it up. It's whatever. It's almost like the stock market, right? It's whatever the market will carry. It's more of a commodity on a market than it is a coin. To my way of thinking.
I mean, that's how I define value.
Yeah. So what happened? Last time you were here, the Bitcoin exchange, Mt. Gox, had lost thousands for its users in Bitcoins. What's happened in the
interview? They're in the middle of bankruptcy proceedings in Japan.
Really?
They still haven't really figured out. They haven't disclosed their address and on the Bitcoin blockchain, so nobody really knows what's happened to these coins. Were they stolen, or was it sort of an internal mess that they just lost them, or they stole them themselves?
Right.
So there's not really a good explanation yet. There's also a lawsuit in the works from a class action lawsuit involving the customers from the U.S. and Canada who are trying to get a claim to some of whatever coins are, if they are ever retrieved or found.
And the Bitcoin is going to be listed on NASDAQ?
If that goes through, that's the plan of the Winklevoss twins, the Winklevi.
And the IRS put out guidelines?
Yeah, they've decided to call it a property, which means that anytime you spend Bitcoins, you'll be required to calculate capital gains and loss on every single transaction.
So it makes it
a bit more complicated.
Less of a coin, more of a commodity or property or something like that.
It's like barter.
Right.
It's being treated as barter.
Right. And then as far as the Federal Election Commission, as I said, approved Bitcoin for campaign donations?
That's right. Yep.
Because they could? What's the advantage of using a Bitcoin to give a donation? You just happen to own one?
Well, a lot of people have a lot of them, and they don't know. You know, there aren't a ton of places to spend them yet. So,
right.
And these people who have been accruing them certainly have political leanings, are very politically active. So I imagine it's probably a good place for those people to spend them.
Let's talk about Zero Cash.
Sure.
Zero Cash unveiled the code for their crypto coin. How does that work? Is it better than Bitcoin? Does it solve a problem Bitcoin has?
So, yeah, Zero Cash is, like you said, it's an altcoin. These are sort of the competitors to Bitcoin. In the most basic terms, Bitcoin itself is a public ledger, and all of the transactions across the history of the currency are recorded in that ledger. And this is good because it prevents fraud and counterfeit. But it's you know, the problem is obvious that you can see every single transaction. And so if I'm using one address on the Bitcoin blockchain and an address is how I'm represented on the on the ledger, that address, every single transaction that I make with it is going to be linked together. So if somebody finds out who's making one of them, they know every single one. So that's the problem.
No anonymity.
There's people call it pseudonymity because your name is not in there,
right?
But it's tracked, it's so tracked. Everything's tracked. So no, it's not perfectly private.
Just like a Swiss bank account, there's a number there attached, but we don't know.
I guess I don't have a Swiss bank account, unfortunately.
Our number, you get some bitcoins. Our number 844-724-8255. If you'd like to talk, 844-SciTalk. You can also tweet us. How would you make a change to Bitcoin if you know all about these coins? What would you do? You
say
we'll get you some in that Swiss bank account. Any suggestions? Have you think about that at all?
Oh goodness, I would say that any change that I would want to make is probably already being made. The options, every option that you could imagine is being played with in the space of altcoins. You're asking me like what I guess the thing that I've never felt the part of the project that has been least appealing to me is the control of the minting rate. I'm not convinced yet that that's necessary or that it's going to work.
Explain what minting rate is.
So there are only ever going to be 21 million coins, and the rate at which those enter the economy is completely predictable. You could look at a graph and it asymptotically approaches 21 million coins over the next few decades. And this is directly a response to, you know, the manipulations of the Federal Reserve. And this is, you know, one of the main reasons I think that it actually that Bitcoin got value was because it offered this alternative, and there was this group of people who really, really wanted that, especially in at the end of the financial crisis. Mm-hmm. That was one of the reasons.
Here's a tweet says Bitcoin is totally anonymous. Of course, politicians want them used.
Yeah, you asked why they would let campaign donations be done in Bitcoin. One possible reason is that they might have figured out that this is actually, you know, completely traceable. Somebody might have tapped somebody on the shoulder and said, "This might actually be a really good tool for following where money is going." You know.
Yeah. Oh, there's. Let's move on to something called Dark coin.
Okay.
Dark coin. Boy, it sounds like a new movie coming out. How does that work? What would you use it for? Dark coin.
Okay. Dark coin is another completely new coin which tries to offer anonymity to its users, and it does so by mixing transactions. So if you and I were on the network at the same time, and we were making payments at the same time, Dark coin would mix our payments together and then send them out. And it's just basically a way of obfuscating the complicating the trail, you know.
Yeah, because we know the genesis of this is sort of internet geeky people, and they don't like to have anything trailed or whatever, total anonymity. The Oglala Lakota tribe in South Dakota has come up with their own altcoin. Tell us about that one.
It's called Mazacoin, and
what's the root of the name? Do you know? Mazacoin?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
But it was started by a member of the tribe who wanted them to have a sovereign currency. And basically the main technological difference with Bitcoin is that most of the coins were mined, meaning they were created before it was released. So anytime you do that with a coin, you're basically turning the person mm-hmm. who's mining the coins, all of those coins, you're turning them into a central bank, essentially, and you're giving them the power to distribute them as they see fit. And so what they're doing is distributing them specifically to the people of the tribe. And also they're holding a portion of them aside to give to grants to people in the community. And
so we could expect a lot more coins on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah. There's that one. I mean, there's that one is constrained to a specific demographic. There's another one that's just being given out to people in Iceland.
Wow. Collect them, trade them, swap them, as mm-hmm. we used to have baseball cards.
And you can, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Fascinating, Morgan Peck. Thank you. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much.
Morgan Peck is a journalist based out of New York. She was with us here in our CUNY studio. If you want to find out more, you can read Morgan's article about zero cash on our website at sciencefriday.com/zerocash.